This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Louisiana's Attorney General Liz Murrell this morning. Liz, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, or it's afternoon, I guess.
Yeah,
good afternoon, Newell.
thank you. Same to you. I guess a little bit of a coincidence, a FEMA flood risk 2.0 case that the hearing is tomorrow in New Orleans. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic. It was supposed to be today, but I believe they have bumped that hearing because of the Tropical Storm Francine, probably going to be Hurricane Francine. But, you know, it just highlights the how vulnerable we are to these insurance rates that were set by FEMA without accounting for their economic impact on anybody and their affordability. And frankly, FEMA argued at the first hearing that we had on this that affordability was simply not something they had to take into account. And I think that continues to be a problem. They don't want to tell us how they got the rates, and we're going to continue to press for that information.
So what's the big secret? It's not like they're in competition with anybody, right? I mean, you know,
well,
usually that's considered proprietary.
But now they are. I mean, you know, they've created a system that is more aligned with the cost of private insurance, and that's simply contrary to what the whole program is supposed to be about. The National Flood Insurance Program was supposed to be a program that was allowed affordable rates to be accessible to people who couldn't get insurance on the private market. And what they've done is use, I think, calculators and algorithms that are used in the private market. And that's why they don't want to give them to us, because they signed non-disclosure agreements with private insurers to get their intellectual property and use it to build in to create their rates. And I don't think that's legal.
Well, certainly there's no level of transparency there. They're a public agency. They are not, I can't imagine that they're provided an exception. You know, in Louisiana law, you have exceptions for public entities that are in the competition business. I sat on the board of East Jeff Hospital for over 20 years, and we were provided a small exception, the ability to compete act. But then that's not the case here. I mean, I just don't understand why they believe they can do these things and just hide it from the public.
Well, and it's even worse than that for them. I think not only is there no exception for them, but Congress specifically said that they need to make the basis of these rates transparent to the public who has to pay for them. And they haven't done that. They have consistently refused to provide that information, not just to us, not just in the litigation, but to every single member of our congressional delegation and some other states' congressional members who have tried to get that information from them. So that is one of the things that prompted the lawsuit, was our need to basically have the courts intervene and tell FEMA, you have no legal basis to hide this information from the public. And to tell us how you baked this cake, basically. I mean, they continue to force us to pay these rates, in some cases forcing people out of their own homes because they can't afford them, but they are not permitted to not have the coverage. So it has extreme consequences for a lot of people who live along the coast, but also in our river areas.
Have they answered any questions about the business model? You know as well as I, if you're going a commercial insurance route, the algorithms provide for to be able to cover the incurred but not yet reported liability and then some, because they're looking to make a profit. I mean, are they willing to reveal any of this?
Well, you know what they do is they talk in FEMA speak, which is bureaucratic language that goes in circles. And so they don't give us the real information that we need. You know, we need the calculator and the assumptions that were used to build it. And so it's not enough for them to say, here, go to our website and you can calculate your rates. I want to know what assumptions were built into the creation of that calculator. I want to know what the actual basis is for the rates and that they're imposing on us. We already know that they have jettisoned some things that were used historically in the past, like historical flood rates. They are now using projections of future risk of flooding instead of past actual flooding. So that has an enormous impact on the way these rates are calculated. But where do you make your assumptions? How are you making the assumptions on what our future risk is?
So when we talk about levee improvement, hurricane protection improvement, coastal restoration, as you well know, you're intricately involved in all of those situations that allegedly are improving the situation. What you're saying is that we don't really know for sure whether or not they're even accounting for all of this.
Well, we actually know that they are not accounting for a lot of this. I think, you know, if you talk to Gordy Dove and his experience in Terrebonne, he can give you a pretty detailed list of places that they've invested enormous amounts of taxpayer dollars in flood protection, and it has worked. So there are areas that used to flood that don't flood anymore, and they're not taken into account in FEMA's calculations. Instead, it's kind of a one-size-fits-all. They claim that the average ratepayer in the NFIP program is only seeing a $50 increase, and yet we've shown that there's a 1,000% increase in a lot of people's rates.
So how do we get off dead center? I mean, I understand we're in court. Is thus far, has the court been receptive to the arguments made?
Not initially, no. I mean, we were denied a preliminary injunction, I think incorrectly so, but, you know, that's just part of this is, you know, dealing with judgments, rulings by a court. I mean, once you file a lawsuit, you're subject to the rulings by the judge, and sometimes we just don't have a great choice. Some of the parishes that originally joined us, we had a large number of parishes that joined us in the lawsuit, and the judge kicked them out of the lawsuit. I don't think that was correct, but we just had to make a judgment call about whether to delay continuing the case in an attempt to appeal that particular part of the ruling when we did have some critical parishes still in the lawsuit. We just have to keep going, and we also have to bring in every other possible advocate for our state and for our people. Our congressional delegation is fighting for us. I know the governor will be fighting for us, and I think we've got to continue to educate other members of Congress that this does affect them and it affects their communities too.
What about, Liz, other areas of the country that are having excessive rain amounts? They're tapping into flood insurance. Obviously, the algorithms for those areas of the country would be markedly different than ours. Did they take the same approach up there? They just copied what the commercial insurance companies did, and they're not willing to share those algorithms either?
Yes, and I think that, you know, what's probably the biggest surprise is going to come for people who were not previously in special flood zones, but now they are, and they just didn't realize. They may not realize until they try to sell their house. If they have a mortgage, then the mortgage company may get in touch with them and say, you need flood insurance, where they never had to have it before. You know, there is a lot more of an impact in states that have exposure to river flooding. And I think that a lot of people just don't realize that because it's now based on what FEMA considers to be their future risk of flooding, not what's happened actually in the past. And it doesn't necessarily take into account a lot of state investments in flood protection. So, you know, I think some people are going to be caught off guard that they are much more dramatically affected by this than they may think they are now.
Yeah.
Across the country, you know.
Any further thoughts on this case?
No, I mean, we'll just keep fighting. I mean, nobody knows better than Louisiana that we're exposed to hurricanes, and you know, we also get other flooding. We are blessed with a lot of water. Not every state gets the kind of rainfall that we have. That is really a blessing, not a curse. But we'll keep fighting so that we are fairly treated and we can continue to live in our communities that that we love.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's pivot to the Judiciary Committee hearing of last week. You testified relative to these post-conviction relief cases coming out of the Orleans Parish District Attorney's Office. There was some pretty compelling evidence that was provided that, I don't know, seems to be on shaky legal ground from my perspective as to whether or not the authority actually is there to involve oneself in this type of action. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, there's a lot of post-conviction requests for relief that run through our courts. Most of them are frivolous, or they're raising claims that have already been adjudicated by a prior court. These numbers in Orleans Parish are very disproportionate to what you see across the rest of our state. And that's why I've decided I'm taking a close look at 40 of those cases, basically dating back to January when I took office. I'm working very well with Jason on some other things like juvenile justice and the ankle monitoring. We're working very well together on that. Troop NOLA prosecutions working very well together on that. On this, I'm looking to see exactly what's happening. And I've already seen that I have a difference of opinion on the relief that was granted in a number of these cases. And what I've said all along is that you don't get post-conviction relief simply because the DA or somebody working for the DA has a difference of opinion in legal policy. And so that's something you take to the legislature. That's not something you take to the courts and say, hey, we don't agree with what the law is, so we're gonna let this person out of prison. That's not how it works, and that shouldn't be how the DA is applying post-conviction relief.
And the U.S. Supreme Court actually said that in the Reddick case, right, that like these Ramos cases
right.
were not retroactive, and if you wanted to do something different, your remedy was to actually go to the state legislature, correct?
That's right, and that's a good example of cases where I think that relief is being granted based on a difference of opinion about criminal justice policy. They were not able to get that relief through the legislature. They can continue to try, but that is, in fact, a policy decision for the legislature. If that relief has been foreclosed by the United States Supreme Court and the Louisiana Supreme Court. And so no district attorney should be just going in and unilaterally granting that relief. I don't think that is within the discretion of a DA.
Right. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Please keep up the great work relative to the flood insurance. God knows we need it. We need the relief for sure. And we need to gain a better understanding of what the heck's going on. Because, you know, what happens with FEMA flood risk 3.0? I mean, it's,
right.
You know, it's not like this one's going to be etched in stone forever, right?
Well, it's always kind of a moving target. Let me say this before we sign off. We do have a storm facing us. If people see problems with price gouging, there will be resources on our website. That's www.aglizmerle.com and on the Get a Game Plan app.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the great work you do, and stay safe.
Thank you, Newell. Have a great day and stay safe.
All righty. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.